just because you see a big hair influencer account marketing a certain way or these social media gurus preaching about followers doesn't mean that those strategies have to be applied to your personal business. You are listening to the Small Town Stylist podcast, where beauty pros are empowered to create the life and career of your dreams, regardless of your population count. Hello, and welcome back to the Small Town Stylist podcast. My name is Casey Taylor, and this week I wanted to shed some light on ways you can work towards building your clientele in a small town. I'm not sure what your Instagram algorithm looks like, but I feel like all anyone wants to talk about these days are ways to grow your followers and gain clients through Instagram and TikTok. You might notice strategies like posting a certain number of times a day or how to find trending audios, but the vast majority of this advice is centered around reaching as many people as possible instead of targeting clients that are actually local to you. If we're getting honest for a minute, I believe social media is a tool that all stylists, both small town and big city, can benefit from, but the way it's commonly discussed online is not the way I find it the most valuable. So in this episode, I'm going to be breaking down some common misconceptions about social media marketing as a small town stylist and how you can use it to your advantage to attract more clients locally to you. Starting with the often over-glamorized vanity metrics. How many times have you looked at someone's page and assumed that they must be fully booked because they have a large following and a perfectly aesthetic page? The reality is your social media metrics are not always aligned with your business success. I know for me personally, I've had several viral reels and I have a decently larger following on Instagram that completely blows my engagement I get on Facebook out of the water. I'm talking like anywhere from 200 to over 1,000% more likes and follows on IG than I get on Facebook. However, the vast majority of my clients find me through my smaller platforms like Facebook and my Google business listing because the bulk of my Instagram following is centered around other hairstylists. Now, personally, as someone with a goal of connecting with other stylists and engaging with them through my education, these balances make sense for my unique business. However, if I were mainly focused on growing my business behind the chair, the larger Instagram following wouldn't be doing me any real favors since it's mostly other stylists. Those other stylists are rarely, if ever, going to become my client. And it's only natural for stylists in smaller towns to have a smaller following because the population of your potential clients is smaller as well. This doesn't mean that there are any less opportunities for success, but rather a shift in perspective on what metrics actually matter for your personal business as a small town stylist. If your only goals when posting on social media are to grow your following or to have a viral reel, you might find yourself accidentally in front of the wrong audience. In my experience, when a reel goes viral, it starts off great and then almost immediately gets picked up by trolls who only want to either comment about something unrelated to the topic of your post or they want to argue against whatever you're saying. If you have a population of, for example, 6,000 people or less like I do, why would you make it a goal to have a reel hit 100K views or a million views when in reality, those viewers will most likely not convert into clients? Oftentimes, the reels or TikToks that do take off are not the ones relatable to our clients at all, but rather the ones that relate to other stylists. And they can often turn into these client-shaming posts really quick. Although it might be all for fun and games, it is doing nothing to actually advance those connections with clients, and it's only alienating you from their experience in your chair. You can, of course, be relatable and funny without client shaming, but it is something to be mindful of when you're planning out content and recording things like this. As a stylist who wants to achieve genuine business growth and client connections from social media, your intentions with each post need to be dedicated towards how you can serve that audience. What can they learn from your post, and how will this post better educate them about the problems that you can solve for them in your business and the services that you provide? Those are the posts that will not only generate more clients, but the ones that will help build you up as an authority, regardless of your follower count, because there's genuine value in what you're posting. The next thing I want to address is this Instagram-only method of marketing. Many times, this makes us fall into those same kind of traps. There's so much focus on metrics that we start doing techniques to push our content out to as many people as possible. The issue with this? You don't want your page in front of random scrollers. You want a targeted audience who will invest in your business. This requires us to optimize your SEO, also known as search engine optimization. SEO is how we get to take back control over our marketing instead of crossing our fingers and hoping the algorithm magically blesses us with views. It's the key to getting your name in front of clients who are searching for exactly what you have to offer locally. The best way I can help you get in the mindset of improving your SEO is to think about how people are searching for you. Are people Googling for hairstylists in your area? And how can you boost your name to the top of those search results? A big component of this is utilizing keywords in the most searchable areas of your page and your content. So let's start with the most obvious search engine, Google. Google is often the first place we go when we need to search for a business. By creating a Google business listing, you can automatically help boost your business to the top of those search results. And even if you own the salon you work in or work in a salon that already has a verified Google business listing, I still recommend listing yourself as a stylist with a business listing. Clients prefer to be loyal to a stylist, not a salon. And even in a commission salon setting, I believe it's a stylist's responsibility to market themselves because a business cannot build that personal connection with your clients for you. With your personal business listing, I would recommend using your name plus what you do. So for example, for my business, I would put Casey Taylor Hairstylist or Hair by Casey Taylor for the most optimized results because hair and hairstylist are the words being searched for in relation to the services I offer. Now, you might have caught that I said hairstylist and hair rather than stylist. Although my personal business, I have branded myself as Casey Taylor Stylist. If you are in a major rebrand, I would recommend considering using hair or hairstylist instead, because oftentimes those are the words clients are actually using to search rather than stylist. Although we might use the term stylist in conversation, it's less searched for and it's more of an industry term rather than a client term. Now, in your listing, it's also important to include your salon address and a link to your website so that they can follow up on booking an appointment, which leads me into my next recommendation. Create a website. I cannot tell you how many clients I've gotten from people stumbling upon my website. A professional website with an easy-to-follow layout and a well-executed branding is going to be able to showcase you and your services better than any social media platform ever could. This is the perfect place to house all of your services, pricing, and booking procedures. I like to redirect all of my online presence back to my website because I know that almost every question someone could have about my business is listed there. My address, salon hours, pricing, the services I offer, how to become a client, and other frequently asked questions. I like to think of Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram as a portfolio of my work and a way to build relationships. But my website is what truly bridges that connection to people becoming an actual client and establishes me as an expert. Believe it or not, if clients are searching for a new stylist and they're weighing their options between two different salons, they're most likely going to choose the stylist with a more professional website. With that being said, I would almost argue that a website is more important than social media, but that doesn't mean you should skip social media altogether. There are some key elements in your social media presence that are often overlooked. So instead of thinking about how frequently you should post or what hashtags to use, let's clean up your bio and branding. Starting with your handle. Your IG handle, Facebook business page, and website domain should all match. This is going to make you much more searchable. For example, my business is Casey Taylor Stylist. This is what my Instagram handle is. My Facebook business page is listed as, and my website URL is caseytaylorstylist.com. As an independent stylist, I highly recommend having your first name or the name that you go by in your handle. I find that this kind of humanizes you more and people are much more likely to remember you. When it comes to your Instagram name, so the title that appears on your page in your bio that isn't your actual @handle, I also recommend having your name plus where you're located. On my page, I would use something like Casey Taylor, East Texas Hairstylist. This is because your IG name is searchable and it's really optimized for SEO on Instagram. If someone happens to use Instagram to search for a local hairstylist, there is a greater chance that my name and content is going to be boosted to the top of search results. This same concept applies when writing captions for your post on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. If you can organically mention keywords like where you're located, what you specialize in, within the text of your post, someone searching for those specific words is more likely to be shown your page. Once they make it to your page, if they can see where you're located, a link to your website, and a well-showcased portfolio of your work, your marketing can almost work on autopilot from that point because you've set everything up ahead of time to make it as easy as possible for that potential client. I find that when it comes to marketing any business, the more established you appear by having these little details sorted out, the more clients you can attract locally. My final piece of advice for attracting local clients as a small town stylist is to get involved in your community. This could be two things: physically getting involved by attending events, festivals, joining your local chamber of commerce, or it could be getting involved online. Almost every small town has a local Facebook group, or many for that matter. Those groups can sometimes be a cesspool of drama, complaints about schools, bargain hunters, and the never-ending cycle of questions of what is being built at a certain location in town. But they're also a place where potential clients are asking for advice on who to go to for hair services. You might be worried that the majority of these posters are people who are looking to spend no more than $50 for a color correction from box color black to platinum blonde, and they want it done tomorrow. And in some ways, you would be correct. However, by having a well-laid-out social media and website that we talked about previously, and a streamlined new client onboarding process, you're going to be able to filter out those unwanted clients while still being visible to the local clients who are scrolling these pages and lurking in the comment section to see who is recommended. I built the bulk of my initial clientele in these local Facebook groups, and I can personally vouch that I have some of the best clients a stylist could have asked for in my chair because of it. I could spend forever talking more in depth about strategies for posting on social media, how to interact in these Facebook groups, and branding tips to improve your website and more. And maybe those are topics we can dive into in a later episode. But for today, I wanted to close out by reminding you that just because you see a big hair influencer account marketing a certain way, or these social media gurus preaching about followers, doesn't mean that those strategies have to be applied to your personal business. Find the systems that work for your personal demographic and ignore the extra noise, especially if it's creating this unnecessary stress in your business. Your piece is a priority worthy of protection, and your business doesn't have to be followed by the masses to be successful and lucrative. Don't forget to subscribe if you enjoyed this episode, because more small town stylist topics like these are going to be covered every Monday. And send me a DM on Instagram if you have any topic requests or questions you would like me to answer in the future episodes.